If you weren't here last Wednesday, we studied the dolphin, which was the third decan of Capricornus, and it was interesting. I would encourage you to listen to it and get it from Pete. So let's get your star map. Hand me one. No, I can use it. I'll just use this one. Never mind. Everybody see Aquarius. It's after Capricornus. There are three decans, or three sub-signs, with Aquarius. There's the fish, who's drinking the water, Pisces or Australis. There's Cygna, the swan. And there's Pegasus, the winged horse. Everything, they're all three right there in a line, sort of above Aquarius. Do you see them? The swan is, the horse is upside down. The Pisces Australis is below, and the swan is up in the middle. What we've studied so far in Virgo, in Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, and Capricorn, as the atonement has been made, the sacrifice has been perfected, the blessing has been procured. Hey, we were just talking about you. Now they can be bestowed and poured upon the redeemed. And that's the whole mystery of this sign, is... Let's go back a minute. We gotta always go back. I've got this stupid little chart that goes back 14,000 BC to see what happened with each one of these guys. Abraham was born at the dawning of the age of Aries. So he was just as Taurus was losing its... And remember, the age of is defined by which is the first sign to appear on the evening of the spring equinox. And that's universal around the world. That's always the way which age you're in is defined. As you can see when you look at the map, the distance of time between the different 12 signs of the zodiac, the distance is many times very different. But so the ancients, not the ancients, relatively modern, they just took the 360 degree circle and cut it into 12 separate signs and said each sign is 30 degrees of the circumference of the circuit. But it's each sign isn't that. Each sign is dependent on which was the first constellation seen on the morning of the spring, evening of the spring equinox. So when Abraham I've got to tell you an Abraham story. Abraham's father was the high priest to Nimrod. Nimrod didn't have a son, and under the law back then, the son of the high priest was the next in line for the throne. And Nimrod was the king over the known world. Abraham was the first man in history that we know of that challenged everybody's idea of truth. There are all kinds of stories about this, of what he did, but fundamentally, he's some people say the sun was a god, but he saw the sun rise and set, and rise and set, he knew it changed, so it couldn't be God. Someone said the moon, he'd say rise and set, and it couldn't be God. And all the things that are around him couldn't have a value system. The types of government couldn't have a value system because they change with time. It couldn't be true. That's his definition of truth. If it changed with time, place, or circumstance, it couldn't be true, and it wasn't worth giving a rat's ass for. I just said rat's ass. I quit saying that.
It's like a renaissance.
Huh?
It's a renaissance.
A renaissance?
You know, you're saying it again. It must be important.
Okay. So finally, they were in the age of Taurus. And so all over the world, if you look at this time, the god of the world normally had a human body, a human body in the head of a bull, and that was the indication that you were in the age of Taurus. Well, so he was watching the stars, and he saw that when he was about 19 years old, the first sign that came up on the spring equinox, he saw it was no longer Taurus, but Aries. And so that's when all the gods changed in all these societies, and they became the goat, right? So there was a great hall in Babylon, and this great hall had 500 gods that were the accepted gods of the Babylonians, and they were all pictured on these statues all around. And Abraham, when he saw that, he took an axe and he destroyed the 499 gods, and then put the axe in the arms of the Taurus. There was a price in his head, and he and his father had to flee for their lives. And he became the hero, the father of faith. He's the perfect Christian. So anyway, that's what happened at the dawning between Taurus and Aries. Then we go ahead to the age of the dawning of the age of Pisces. So Aries, the lamb. You got to look at it in this. Let's pass that one. Aries, the lamb, is no longer the god, the first sign that appears on the first sign that appears at the dawning of the spring, morning of the spring equinox is Pisces. Now, that's the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ happened when Aries changed to Pisces. You're bogarting the little thing there. Just like he always do. You bogart. So anyway, I think that's just fascinating. Now, can you tell me by looking at Aquarius when the dawning of the age of Aquarius starts? You can't, because it's all confused. It's water pouring out. You understand what I'm saying? And so the dawning of the age of Aquarius, some experts think it started as long ago as 1870. But the ones I respect says it starts on December of 2012. We're in the dawning of the age of Aquarius, but the age of Aquarius starts in December. Actually, December 2012. Now, everybody, you heard the song, harmony and peace and understanding and all that good stuff. Well, that's right. That's what all of the ancients says was what's happening in the age of Aquarius. But from what scriptures say, means the age of Aquarius, when it starts, time ends. Because that's the age of spirit and harmony and understanding and peace. So I don't want to put the fear of God in your heart, but the Mayan calendar may have something to it. But isn't that interesting?
That's what Lydia keeps telling me.
Huh?
So that's what Lydia keeps telling me.
Well, she keeps saying that? Well, I'm glad she's not listening to this. No, nobody knows. That's the whole
point.
But it's interesting that I didn't know this. I didn't know that the these guys that I respect say that the dawning of the age of Aquarius starts December 21st, 2012.
Hmm.
That's when the Mayan calendar ends.
Who are these guys?
Yeah.
Huh?
Who says that?
Well, I can give you the references. But, you know, I know what I'm doing now. All right.
What does that mean, that the edge of the water is going to be showing at the spring equinox, or what?
That's what nobody knows.
I'm not sure.
I need
this back?
No. Yeah, I do, in a minute. All right, so let's study Aquarius. First, let's go to John 7. Verse 37. The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, if you look at Aquarius, you see the man, he's holding an urn, and some of the maps, let me see yours. Well, in some of the ancient maps, it seems like the urn is farther, the picture of the urn is farther down, so it looks like out of his belly is flowing rivers of living water. Now, the water is going into the mouth of the fish. Now, the fish, remember we studied in Capricorn, the previous sign, where the goat is dying, and giving life to the tail of the fish, or giving life to the fish in spirit. All of the age from Christ till now has been the age of Pisces. And the age of Pisces are ichthus. That's how Christians define themselves. They define themselves as a fish. And it's that little sign they made in the sand, supposedly, was because they were of the fish, they were ichthus. So here we have, remember we first had the fish, the tail of the fish in Capricornus. We had the fish as a dolphin, last sign, and now we have the fish in Pisces Australis in this sign. So from now on, the signs have to do, because of the atonement and the redemption is finished, now the signs have to do with the work of God and his people. Now, what is water?
Spirit, right?
Well, water is, again,
it's judgment too, isn't it?
Man makes something, and he's lucky if what he makes does one thing. God makes something, it does a million things. So water is, it's both the waters of sin, but it's the waters of cleansing. It's the living waters, but it's the bellow of death that passed, you know, in the grave, symbolic. But the whole, the part of the mystery of water is that light is equally at home in the water as it is in the sky. And that has some kind of an interest to me. The Holy Spirit is sometimes defined as the water, but he's also defined as the oil. It just gives different parables about the meaning of what the work. His work in power is the oil, or anointing is the oil. His work in cleansing is the water. So that's the whole mystery of this. So it's many things. In the whole, the last thing that's done on the last day, this when he stood in the temple and said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, that was done on the last, on the seventh day of the Feast of Pentecost. I mean, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the end. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the marriage supper of the Lamb is next, the eighth day. On the eighth day, there's a unique ceremony that was done in the temple. It was done at no other time. All the other times, they poured water into the temple, into the altar. On the eighth day of the ceremony, they poured wine and water into the temple, into the altar. That's the whole mystery of the human race. It's that the human race is the water, the bride is the wine. And that wine, the bride is always a type of, I mean, the wine is always a type of the bride. Israel is called the vine. Israel is the type of the bride. Now, what is it about water? The way our bodies work. We have to have air. And air we can't live without. For just you can't hold your breath for more than 3 or 4 minutes at the most. So again, you see, you can go without water for 3 days only. 3 or 4 days at the maximum. You can go without food for 40 days. So the in terms of what that tells us spiritually is we have to have the Holy Spirit on a second-by-second basis. Because we breathe in the Holy Spirit, we breathe out us. And when we see that, and we begin to see that in the rhythm of our breath, and you see the repentance is constant because you're constantly breathing out all of you and breathing in him. Amen? Hmm. But water, when we drink the cup and when we drink communion, it's water that has been turned into wine through fermentation, through prophecy. My theory is every time you take communion, or let me say that a different way, every time you drink something, it should be seen as the wine, because the water or the wine is what gives you your worth. Every time you take and eat anything, that's why I don't pray at meals, because I pray every time I drink or I eat. It's because every time I drink, it's what I know that's the only thing that gives me worth is him. And every time I eat, I know that's the only thing that gives me sustenance and satisfaction. I spent my whole life eating everything else. But the whole mystery of God is the snake's curse was that, and upon his belly he shall be led, and dust shall he eat all the days of his life. Unless you believe in a talking snake, he's talking to your mind. By your belly you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. That's the only thing that's given you any satisfaction and sustenance your whole days. It's accomplishments or diamonds. It's crap. It's all dust. And you've tried everything in the universe to have worth. Some people didn't get married to have worth. But the only worth comes from his blood. So, but water is, you know, water is just amazing stuff. If you've ever lived in the desert, when I was a kid, I used to, if I had any time, I'd just take a knife, nothing else, and go out in the desert and spend a week or 10 days. Because I knew how to survive in the desert, and I absolutely love the desert. But to find water in the desert is like nothing else. To come across a particular, I mean, I've got one in mind, there's a Box Canyon, about 20 miles from where we live. Everything is arid, dry. You go around this corner, looks like you're coming into a dead end. There's this beautiful waterfall, water coming forth out of the spring. If we can see that spiritually, that's always Him in us. He's always there. But we're making so much noise in our mind that we can't find anything. We have so much crap that we're sorry about, or wish we'd done differently, or what? How can I gad about to change myself some more, or other crap? But I want us to look at water tonight. So we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures. Go to John 4:14. Because water is about Aquarius. I mean, that's how we're studying this. Aquarius is about water. This is the woman at the well. He's at the Samaritan well. Then he said, then saith the woman of Samaria, verse 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest, well, before that, in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat or buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children with his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Now that's what that in a nutshell is what this Aquarius is about. Now let's go back to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 12. That day shalt thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the well of salvation. That's a scripture that was read on that eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus, in essence, Targuming said, why do you have such great joy about water from that well. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living, life-giving water. All right, Isaiah 32 first. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. All right, that's another good one. Isaiah 55. Ho! Ho! Ho, such a one. Ho! You calling me a ho? Alright, never mind. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Everyone that thirsteth, come unto the waters. Proverbs 18. Never mind. All right, this sign. The Egyptian name is for the sign is Hupeterion. It means poured forth. The Hebrew name is Delai, which just simply means an urn or a bucket. Let's look at that in Numbers 24. This is Numbers 24. It's the book. Essentially, all of Numbers 24 is in the Magi, it's the holy book, the Zend Avesta. And this Numbers 24, verse 17, is why the Magi came to Jerusalem. But that's not what we're studying. I just thought that was interesting. And verse 5, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as the gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Lignolis, which the Lord hath planted, as the cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. But anyway, the water out of the buckets is that's the name of that one star. I mean, the Hebrew name is Delai, which means urn or bucket. The Arabic name is Delu, D-E-L-U, it's the same as bucket, same as Hebrew. Look at the star in the right shoulder of our little man here. That's the first star on the right shoulder, the brightest one, is called Sad al-Melek. It means the record of pouring forth. The star on the left shoulder, his name is Sad al-Sun. It means poured out. The star on the right leg is Shiat, who goeth forth and returneth, is the name of that star. I mean, that's what it means. The star, the bright star in the urn, is called Mon or Mion. It means urn. And Aquarius is the Latin name. And Aquarius in Latin just means the pouring forth of the water. Now, let's look at Revelation. We'll go backwards here. Revelation 22. Verse 8, I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me the things, these things. Then saith he unto me, See, thou doest it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
I don't understand. In 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That whole verse, I'm not really sure I understand why it's there, other than to like, it almost like it suggests no effort or something.
It has nothing to do with what your outward appearance is. We can only see that. There's nothing. God doesn't care how many times you accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
Well, that's for sure.
He cares what's the religion inside you, his temple. There's two words for temple in the New Testament. One is hieron, which means the entire temple complex. And the other is Anu, which means only, it's only the holy place and the holy of holies. And whenever you're called, each of us are called the temple of God. And it's the only one that's used is that A-N word, not the whole temple complex. It's only the holy place and the holy of holies. That's who you are. And you will automatically accomplish the worship in the temple in its order if you abandon yourself. If you don't, then everything is out of place, and you're back in the top, in the whore of Babylon, or cause and effect, is the only thing that you can do. And that's why this, we're taking a side trip, just for a little bit, because you asked that question. Go to 2 Thessalonians.
Wait a minute, you're not going to hang this one on me.
Second Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, if you're listening to that here, then you've got to come to a big deal here, because I'm saying the day of Christ is here. And this says, don't pay attention to somebody that the day of Christ is here. That's kind of interesting, right? But then let's look at what says. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I believe we have revealed who the man of sin, the son of perdition, is. It's Nick.
Duh.
It's Rachel.
Send the mirror.
It's Ellen. It's Joshua. It's Matt. And Jim. And Mary. And me.
I hate that bit. That part of this just, man. Makes sense, but I don't like it.
You think I liked it?
No, I'm sure you
did. You know how many years I didn't dare tell anybody this?
Keep it a secret, huh?
Were you convinced then, though?
Yes. I knew.
Yeah.
But I knew nobody would believe me if I said it.
Yeah. But it makes sense because, you know.
But what? Anyway, I want to get to why it makes sense. The word for temple is not the temple complex that they've just raised $8 billion to rebuild in Jerusalem. Let's talk about spiritual masturbation. It is, this word here is the one that only applies to the holy place and the holy of holies. There's no place for sacrifice. There's no place for sin offerings. There's no place for burnt offerings.
That's beautiful.
You are the temple, huh?
So that's beautiful. I mean, when you really see what
that
means in that context.
So anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No. No, but I was thinking about, you know, when the son of perdition is revealed, then you start to understand what the role of the cross is, because without that bit of information, you don't understand why there's any need for the cross. You don't understand why you're supposed to pick up your cross. You don't even understand why you would want to or what would compel you to. But it's like, if you can't get away from this, you know, then what? I mean, it's a bad it's a very ugly realization.
Well, and once you've heard this, you can't get away from it.
Yeah. Man, you missed the best stuff, Pete.
Yeah. The best Bible study ever. We pulled that trick for 20 years now.
Probably was good.
But no, we're gonna. It's time. Anybody have any? I want to get into the fun stuff with Aquarius next week about who believes what and why they say this. All right.
Hey Pete, do me a favor, walk me outside. I'll give you some good info. Oh,
any? Anybody have any response or any questions?
Get you some sleep, and I'll be visiting with you the next day. So,
okay.
Hey, Matt, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you there. All right. I'll shake your hand, only I won't bother right now. I love you, Ollie. All
right. Take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah, I will. I will.
Have a good.
All right. I talked to
anybody have any prayer requests or needs?
Take a big guy. Not.